This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Heavenly Father, we're so very grateful and so thankful today. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we believe that it's you, Holy Spirit. We did not even bring ourselves here. We did not even wake ourselves up today. We did not even, Lord, get ourselves out of bed today. It's in you that we live and move and have our being. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We don't stir ourselves alone, but you stir us. You put hunger in us. You put desire so that we seek you, so that we could find you. And Lord, thank you, Lord. It's you that brought us to Jesus. It's you, Holy Spirit, that convicted us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It's you that opened our eyes to see the Lord Jesus crucified publicly for our sins and the love that you have for us in the face of Jesus Christ. It is you that commands light to shine out in the darkness. It is you that brings hope to the very hopeless, and it's you that raises the dead. Lord, it's you, Almighty Father, Lord, that there's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing impossible for you. All things are possible with you, Father. And it's you, Father, that works the miracles in our life, Lord, and shows mercy unto thousands, Lord. And all who call upon you, Lord, you give the promise of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you today, Lord. We love you. We want you to be blessed, Lord. We know you bless us. You're going to bless us today, Lord, but we want you to be blessed in this place today. We thank you so much. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Amen. We're very glad to be here. I'm very happy, and I'm very sad today because my wife's not here with me in this service, and that makes me sad. But I'm also very happy. She's at home. I'm going to roll my sleeve up for just a moment. So if you have something to do, now would be the time. This is not a threat. Our son last night, I was on the phone about, it was midnight. I think I came into the house there at 12:45. Our children were there all asleep, all beautiful there. And I was thanking God for them, each one of them, all three of them. And just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my children. And Benjamin, he's 3 years old. He was there just all like this. And then I started speaking to my wife for about 5 minutes, and Benjamin just woke up screaming, and we couldn't figure out what it was, but he started grabbing his ear. So about 5:26 is what we saw on the clock. He went to sleep this morning, And we just thank God for the precious brothers and sisters. We were staying with Brother Bobby and Sister Mary, and they were very gracious, even though our son can yell. And he's got a loud voice box, so he was really hurting. He was hitting himself on the head. We've never had an earache, our kids and him either. So he was hitting his legs and stomping and flopping there. And so we were just praying and being still and letting God lead us. Sister Mary finally went to check on us and went and got us some oil, things like that, you know, and he went to sleep. And my wife really wanted to be here. But at the last moment, my wife was ready, but he was asleep, and we said, let's let him sleep. So she stayed back there at the house with him. And the Christian life, being a believer, you know, you see many miracles. And if you're living a true Christian life, it's a supernatural life from the beginning all the way to the end, all the way when you get saved, all the way to when God calls you home and calls you out of this earth. It's supernatural miracles that you see. But living the Christian life doesn't mean that everything that we pass through is going to go the way that we think. And we need, that's where the patience and the endurance and the faith comes in. And there's a time, yes, when God says, speak and move the mountain. There's other times when God says, no, I don't want you to turn those stones into bread. I want you to trust me through this. And we believe and trust our Heavenly Father and His love. Like many said, if God loved me, why did these things happen in my life? But then the greater question is, if God didn't love us, why did He send His only Son to make a way for us back to the Father and back into His love and His forgiveness? Well, upon getting saved, a lot of things begin to happen new in my life, things that I never thought would ever happen in my life. And even the healings, and just mentioning a few, I remember gathering with a group of children. Sometimes it's very good to pray with children, especially if you can't find any believing adults. And a little girl with a swollen on both feet with some kind of rash or infection. And we're praying right there for her and all of us, maybe about five or six of us, little kids and myself, being a teenager, born again at 18, her feet just right in front of us, just the rash, the infection that was very high, it was very painful, not just itching, it just disappeared right in front of our eyes, and she was immediately healed by God. And she ran into the living room where some of my relatives were and the adults, and began to excitedly tell them. And when I looked my head out the door, I seen them there. My family were all smokers. I was too before. And they're there. And they're like, oh, that's nice. Even seeing her feet normal, they continue talking about all the problems. And God spoke to me then that my miracle power, the devil will always try to even make you forget when God's done things in your life. Make you forget that if it had not been for the Lord, you know, the many times He's delivered, you know, seeing a woman in the ICU room die, her heart stop, the doctors give up on the shockers, whatever you, those pads that they use, and going in there with a woman and praying and rebuking the spirit of death and seeing God start her heart again because she wasn't saved, and our fear was that she would die in her sins and be lost, and God raised her from the dead. And it would be 5 years later before she got saved. That was one of my aunts. Could go on and on, but also of all the trials and the sicknesses that I've passed through, the deathbed, the attacks, mental, spiritual, and physical attacks, and these things. And yet, God says, yeah, I've put my treasure in weak human vessels, but it's only so my power can be revealed. I want to share just a few moments with you today about obeying the heavenly law. Obeying the heavenly law. Would you read with me, if you have a Bible or maybe on the screen, the book of Acts, chapter 5. Obeying the heavenly law. I did get a couple of hours sleep, so hopefully I won't be too tongue-tied today. But I trust the Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts that it's no accident that you're here this morning. It's no accident that God brought you here today. Obeying the heavenly law. Acts chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And don't think men like Peter did not go through trials or times of imprisonment or times in his own walk following Jesus where he was in total disbelief that surely God's not listening. He's not here for us. But we don't see a picture of a man that knows what he's doing. We see the picture of a church and a people who are under a higher law. And they're walking in the midst of hurting people in the streets, demon-possessed, sick, problems, depression, suicidal tendencies, all types of bondages. And their heart's cry to God is not, I know what to do, I'm a Christian, here's these steps. No, it's a crying out to God for the need that you put us in the middle of this. And as they're walking, not even realizing the power of the Holy Spirit, even the shadow begins to heal people by the power of the Holy Ghost. Impossible things. Things that we can only say, well, this person, we just got to try to figure this out. And we got to put them on medication or maybe psychology and all these laws that we try to follow in the natural. But it's until we let the heavenly law and we're obeying God that supernatural things begin to happen. Healings begin to happen. Don't think of the apostles or the disciples like they were people that just, they just had that healing touch. They just had that anointing. Like we're just these great ones, because you read one chapter before this, we will not read today, but we read them praying, God, give us boldness that you may stretch forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy child, Jesus. So these aren't men that, oh, I got this. I've been to Bible school. I've got a title. I'm a pastor. I'm a leader. I'm an evangelist. I'm on the TV. I wrote a book. I know scriptures. I memorized. No, they're crying out knowing. Yes, we know the power of God because I was blind. Now I see. I was dead. I'm alive. We know I was sick. He healed me. But we also know it's in submission to our Father. And crying out to him to move. Would you look with me there, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and those who were with him, see, they're under religious law, and they were filled with indignation. What is this law? This is not of this world that you men are walking by, you women are walking by. They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. They had certain laws that had to be abode, had to be abided. But at night, an angel of the Lord, a heavenly law comes in, opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard it, okay, they went into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those under a different law, came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. They returned and reported, we've found the prison shut securely, and the guards are outside the doors, guarding it very well. See, but when we opened them, no one was inside. Now, when you're under God's law, he superpasses, he does with you what he wants to do with you. You're under heavenly law. When the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, you might say, well, then why did God allow Peter and them to get locked up in the first place? Yeah, good question. Why did he allow that? But we see that he still rules over that. So one came and told them, these men are, verse 25, standing in the temple, teaching the people. The captain went with the officers without violence, for they feared the people that they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, you know, you're going to get stoned to death if you're all these people are surrounding these men, and these men are making it plain. It's not us. It's not our holiness. It's the name of Jesus. But your nephew was healed. Your daughter was healed of demon possession. Your brother-in-law was raised from the dead. And all these people are gathered glorifying God. And then these men are going to come lay hands on them. So they were being very careful. You know, drug addicts, doesn't matter what gang they're from. Their cousin or their son was healed or set free from heroin addiction, or they were delivered from demonic possession over the household. And see, something of honor to God supersedes this law of man coming in. So they're being very careful how they approach these men. Look at verse 26. They feared the people that they should be stoned. When they brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest asked them, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Didn't we give you a law? And look, you filled all Jerusalem with your doctrine, and you intend to bring this man," talking about Jesus, "his blood on us. You're trying to bring his guilt on us." They're like, "Yes, we are trying to bring his blood on you, but it's not to make you guilty. It's to wash you of all your sins. We are trying to bring his blood on you. But then you're trying to bring his blood on us?" Yes, that's the idea. We're trying to bring his blood on you. But Peter and the other apostles, listen to these words, please. Verse 29. "We ought to obey God rather than you." We ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey a heavenly law above earthly law. These are not rebellious people. We know what the Bible teaches the believer, the Christian. Obey the laws of the land. We understand that. Before I got saved, I was extreme rebel. Some of you were too, but I was extreme rebel. So anything I was told to do, I definitely did the opposite. I was so bad at that, I'd be driving, I'd see the speed limit. I'd say, "Who made that law? Some man?" "Well, I can make my own law. 55, I say it's 95. And then when they stopped me and gave me a ticket, I'd be all angry. "You were driving 100 to catch me." And just, get busted as a teenager having alcohol, and I'd be so angry with the police because they'd be laughing that, "Well, at least they had good beer. These teenagers were, you know," and I'd be so angry, busting people for heroin and then yet giving methadone. I'd be so angry. The laws of men, so rebellious and so angry at anything that anyone told me to do. See, we know we're not talking about I'm obeying God. He told me to go 120. If you're in another country, and let's say the speed limit, suddenly you're driving along and you're used to 60 or 70, and suddenly it says 120. Now, some of you might go, "Thank you, Jesus." You know, with all your kids there, everything. But just because the laws of the land say you can do this doesn't always mean, especially you're a believer, there's a heavenly law that tells you, you know, well, some of you want to, but your car can't go 120, so you just, y'all go 80. I got born again 18 years old, and this heavenly law came into me. I mean, I wasn't in a church. It was no church rules. It was not. See, we're all under certain laws in this world. Doesn't matter if it's your workplace. Doesn't matter if you're in a county jail, you're under a law there. If you're in a gang, you're under the laws of that gang. Hello. If you're in a marriage, there's certain laws. You have children, there's certain laws. You're in a school system, there's certain laws that you're under. Sometimes it's customary. Sometimes it might be traditional laws. It might be religious laws. But when you get born again and the heavenly law comes into you, It's a law that's higher than all these laws. I woke up in the morning after being born again, and I start noticing a bag of weed there at my house. And no one told me, thou shalt not smoke weed. The heavenly law showed me, that's an idol. You don't need that. You have the Prince of Peace. You don't need your bongs and peace pipes and all that no more. I took and dumped it down the toilet. The King of Beers, the heavenly law said, if there's a law, that means there's a king too. If you have a heavenly law, you have a heavenly king. You have the King of Kings. You don't need the King of Beers. As they're pouring out Jack Daniels, Budweiser, all that. I'm all by myself, burning music. A heavenly law is leading me and telling me, changing me. Even when I would say a curse word, then a heavenly law in me. It was no law of the land. Everybody curses at work. Everybody used four-letter words. Everybody uses God's name to damn things. But the heavenly law inside of me was saying, this isn't right. And my king, a higher law. Men started saying, well, one day in Texas, they're going to pass laws where weed smoking's okay. I'm like, it won't even matter no more. Because a higher law, then it doesn't matter. They could say it's okay to cheat on your wife. They could say it's okay to lie. It's okay, but I have a higher law, a heavenly law inside of me. I'm not going to be following those laws. I ought to obey God rather than man. Well, they're going to tell you to renounce the name of Jesus. Remembering that testimony of that precious man, a pastor over in Syria, who has given his life along with many, many others, smuggling Bibles into Antioch and Damascus and into Iraq and Iran and right there in Syria, underground church. And somehow the laws, the religious laws, and they somehow got pictures of him in America in a Christian church surrounding, and they're waiting for him when he gets off the plane. They arrest him. They strip him without any clothes and put him in a deep freezer and leave him there to die. And after many, many hours, this man realizes, I'm going to die. And it hits him, one thing. I don't want to die without glorifying the Lord. And so in almost frozenness there, with no clothing at all, he begins to just praise and worship and thank. It's heavenly law. This don't make this heavenly law. The law says, bless the Lord at all times. May his praise always be in my mouth. There's a heavenly law of God inside of our heart. I will give you praise like the song we were singing. It's your breath in my lungs anyways. So I'm going to pour out your praise. And as he was praising, his testimony is this. He felt a warmth from heaven. See, laws begin to change. The law of freezing and warmth and all this, and clothed him, and he was there praising God there under the power of the Holy Spirit. And after all day, they come and open the door, and he's there standing there fine, and they call him out, give him his clothes, and send him on his way. They don't even know why. It's a heavenly law. You're obeying God. Going to obey you. Before I was saved, I would say, my life don't matter. It was by self-hatred. Hated myself. Completely hated myself. Then I get saved, and now I say, my life don't matter. But it's not self-hatred anymore. It's because Christ lives in me, and it doesn't matter anymore as long as he is having his way, because he loved me and he gave himself for me by heavenly law. In the Bible, heavenly law is also called the law of love. It's also called the law of Christ. You'll find those words in the Bible. It's also called in Scripture the law of the Spirit of life. Heavenly law. It's his law. It's greater. It set you free. It set me free to where suddenly it wasn't what man was telling me, what my friends were telling me, my cousins were telling me. It's what God was telling me now and telling me how I should be, how I should not be. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. See, that's heavenly law. Whom you murdered. You got to accept it. You got to own it. He died for your sins because of your sin. How could he love me? That's a big question, right? It's heavenly law. It's not like this earth. It's not like a man. It's different. You meet Jesus, you know you met someone different. If you think he's the same, you haven't met him yet. You meet the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, the one from heaven, not another Jesus. You meet the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ who died on the cross. You've met someone different. God raised him from the dead, whom you murdered by hanging him. The whole human race, not just them, whom you murdered. All of us that were born into that race, the sinfulness of everyone living for themselves, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior to give repentance. Repentance isn't a bad word. It's an opportunity. Come home. Son, daughter, come home. It's an open door. You're welcome. Come back. I've made a way for you. That's repentance. To give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey this heavenly law. They obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. See, man's law will always seek to, because they realize something heavenly. See, the devil, he doesn't get upset over our churchiness. He doesn't get upset over that. He gets upset over heavenly law coming in. Men and women who know they belong to God, they already know that. They've given their lives to him. They're thanking him. They're living to glorify him. And heavenly law is coming in. He's not afraid of our programs. He's not afraid of our money. He's not afraid of anything we do. He's afraid of a people who are under heavenly law. People would tell me, how is it you forgave your dad? When they would know, especially my family, knowing my father, my earthly father, the hatred I had that drove me into depression and drove me into drugs and alcoholism and violence. How did you forgive your dad? You know, I didn't have these words. I didn't use these words then, but it's heavenly law. God, it's not natural. It's not natural for me. It's not natural for you to forgive. It's supernatural. It's something God does, something only he can do. When you submit, when you obey the Lord Jesus Christ, he set you free. It's not natural for a heroin addict to leave the needle and the heroin and the gang and everyone and say, Jesus set me free and follow Jesus. It's not natural for a violent person to suddenly, I would rather you punch me in the face than me punch you in the face, because I already know who died for me and suffered for me. And he was no sissy. He was no wimp. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm following the Lamb of God. It's supernatural. You can't explain it. A man that used to beat his wife and now he just wants to cover and protect her and love her. A man who only cursed and now he doesn't even want to say one bad word or even raise his voice to his children. It's a heavenly law ruling these people. When they're killing you, spitting in your face, Jesus 24/7 was under heavenly law. 24/7. When they reproached him, when they spoke evil to him, like a lamb, he opened not his mouth. He did not defend himself. Why don't you defend yourself? Don't you know I've got power? We've got laws here, you know. I can have you crucified. He said, there's a law that rules over all your law. Heaven rules. You don't rule. My Father, unless he gives you the power, you really can't do anything to me. The truth is, he wasn't being smart. He was telling the truth. My Father, he's in charge of my life. And I'm going to leave this planet when at the perfect time to go back to be with my Father. That's the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? If you don't know Jesus, you don't know truth. Go with me to Romans 8. Let me show you a couple of these examples in Scripture. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? Romans 8, 1. Now, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who do not, see, you're under a different law. Who do not walk according to the flesh. That means you're not trying to do it no more. You're not trying to prove, if my family could just see that I'm doing good. That's you still in the flesh. That's you still wanting to someone to say, you finally did it, mijo. You finally did it, mija. You're finally good enough. Listen, I'm not putting you down if you're in that, but that's a bondage. The Pharisees stood before Jesus and said something like this. They said, what are you talking about? You'll set us free. We've never been slaves to anyone. Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave. You're under a law whether you like it or not. But if Jesus sets you free, the heavenly law comes in. You're no longer a slave. They don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. See, sin has a law too. Death has a law. Oh, mighty death. Yeah, but death bows. Jesus said, I am he that was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death in my hand. And the law of sin and death bows its knee when you're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You're set free. You're no longer under the law. This is heavenly law. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. This is the way of the Christian, the believer. Though I am free of all men. See, I'm not under the law. Does that mean that I just live carelessly? Since I'm not under any law, I do whatever I want. He says, no, I'm free from all men. I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. I'm under a different law, see. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. That means I'm testifying to my cousins years ago and sharing with them Jesus, and suddenly they bust out the beer. Psst. Here, bro. All right, cuz. Yeah, tell me about it, because I was the baby cousin of all them. No, you don't understand. I told you Jesus set me free. All right. Just, here's the beer. Drink a beer. That's the law of, you know, fellowship out here in the world. You got to drink a beer. No. He's not saying to those without law, I go into the bar and get drunk and tell them about Jesus, my Savior. Because I'm still under the law of Christ that tells me, no, don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. The power is not in that alcohol. The power is in the Holy Spirit. And that's where I've learned a lesson from heaven and tell my cousins, no, I love you. You can take my hand and follow me to heaven. I am not going to take your hand and follow you to hell or lead our children to hell anymore. I'm under a different law. But I love you. I'm praying for you. I care for you. You can get mad. You can spit. You can curse. You can call me a sissy. Do whatever you want to do. I'm under a different law. I've been set free. Those under heavenly law are not under Satan's power. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. Psalms 37, just so you'll see, this is everywhere. It's all through Scripture. King Nebuchadnezzar cried out in Daniel, the heavens rule, after he was humbled. Psalms 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speak wisdom. His tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watch the righteous, the believer, the Christian, all of you. I don't care, young and old, teenager, all of you. He watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged by those laws of sin and death. He will not do that. We're under our Father's law. Go to Matthew 14. I'm coming to a close, but I hope you hear from heaven today. I hope you hear from the Holy Spirit. There's no desire here that you be put under any religious law, because a heavenly law is much greater than any religious law. Well, the reason that I don't drink or smoke is because my church doesn't. That's not going to keep you. Well, at Bible school, I learned this and that. No, this is not going to keep you. Well, my wife keeps an eye out for me. That's not going to keep you either. Your wife's law is not going to keep you. It's got to be, or your husband's law. It's got to be heavenly law. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And we know by other accounts of this gospel, this was a very severe storm. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. What law is that? You know that's not the law of gravity. He's walking on the sea. He didn't just do this whenever to show off. He didn't just turn stones into bread or jump off temples whenever someone said, do this, do that. No, he's been praying. He's talking to his Father. He's obedient to his Father. He comes walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out with fear. You can imagine seeing someone on the... They were afraid of the storm, but then they saw a phantom or they saw, you know, I don't know. Thank God there was not TV back then watching Ghost Story and all that. They're terrified. They probably told ghost stories around the campfire. I don't know, but they were, from a child, they were terrified. The Bible makes it clear they suddenly were more afraid of this one walking on the sea than they were of the storm. And when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, aren't you glad, and said, be of good cheer. It's just me. Hey, fellas. Oh, I wasn't trying to scare you. Have you ever done that to your kids? Oh, I'm sorry, mijo. Oh, it's just me. Don't be afraid. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, he's not sure, command me to come to you. Because if it's really you, you've got the power. You're the heavenly king over the heavenly law. You got the power. And I'm not going to walk on the water, but I will walk on your word. My changed life is not because I tried harder. It's because I heard the word of God and I obeyed it and came out of my sin, came out of my gang, came out of my bondage, came out of my addiction, came out of my depression, came out of that darkness, the power of Satan, and I'm walking on water. I'm on heavenly law. Peter did good for a little bit under that heavenly law until he started paying attention to all the laws of nature and everything around him. And then he began to sink. And you know how the story ends. He cries out, save me. And the Lord in his mercy, even when we've forgotten about the heavenly law and we begin to sink again, the Lord is there to pick us up and say, I'm working with your faith. I'm trying to help you grow here. I'm trying to help you. You know, go on with this because there's something supernatural I put inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. My God, can you say thank you, Jesus? Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. This doesn't come just from coming to church. He said, hypocrites. You're speaking to Pharisees that really didn't think they needed Jesus. Now, the devil's kept any of you bound here that, well, I don't want to come to church because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Let me tell you, a hypocrite is someone who doesn't think they need Jesus or the forgiveness of the shed blood because my outward righteousness is enough. And if you say, well, I know I need Jesus, then you're not a hypocrite. Now, you might be hypocritical sometimes. You might play the part of a hypocrite, but if you know you need Jesus and you believe in him, you're not a hypocrite. Never do you see Jesus turn to Peter, even in his flakiness, in his tossy-turvy, in his double-mindedness. Never does he say, you hypocrite. But he does encourage him and pick him up when he's fallen. But to the Pharisees, you hypocrites, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. but their heart is far from me. Why? Verse 9 tells you, because in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments or the laws of men. We don't worship God because our church says to. That's not the people we are. That's not the people Church of Living Waters is. We're people who know, we've tasted. We call others, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's real. We worship Him because we believe in Him. We draw near with our heart. I'm going to turn to one more scripture with you, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. In verse 2, I'm closing with this, if the worship team would like to come. Very early in the morning, chapter 16, verse 2, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? This is a very huge stone. But when they looked up and saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, you ever thought about that? When Jesus was raised from the dead, you know how Lazarus, when he was raised from the dead, and, you know, he would later die again and go to paradise there. But he was wrapped like a mummy, Lazarus was. That's how they would do. They would wrap all head to toe, wrap them like mummies. And when Jesus was embalmed or wrapped, when they took him down, there's no question. They wrapped him in grave clothes. And what that is, they wrapped his hands, his feet, his... The laws of the microphone. they wrapped everything of Jesus. So when they came into the tomb to see him, what startled them was that that clothing that was wrapped was there. It was there intact. It wasn't like Jesus said, what happened? Oh, get me out of this. He came out of that. That's why you would read about after he's risen, they're all locked in a room there securely, and suddenly Jesus comes to the wall and says, peace to you. And they're, it's okay. I'm complete. I just did that by heavenly law. I walked through the wall. You ever think about that? The angels didn't roll that stone away so Jesus could get out. They rolled it away so that those disciples could get in. Jesus didn't need him to roll away the stone so he could get out of there. He just went out of there. The risen Son of God. So that the disciples and the ladies could go in there and see the grave clothes and see that, oh my God, everything he said is true. Every word of God is true. It's heavenly law. It's true. Go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. Go to verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world. Now, who told us to do that? Heavenly law, heavenly King, the one who saved me, the one that loved me when no one could love me, the one that believe for me, love believeth all things when no one could even believe. I couldn't even believe for me. The one who had mercy on me when I couldn't see anything good in my life but a curse. The one who became a curse on the cross. The one who bore my sin. The one who could see what no man could see. The one who raises the dead. The one who's ruled only by heavenly law, not earth's laws. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That means they're willing to let it be public. They're willing, they believe enough that it's not, well, at church, I'm a Christian, but around the gang and my homies, I'm this or that. God says, no, which law are you under? You're under this world's law, or you're under my law? Who's your king? Who's your Lord? Who do you serve? You cannot serve two masters. You say, Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, my life doesn't even matter. And Jesus, I'm tired of blaming everyone else for my sin. Jesus, I'm tired of being in this bondage. Jesus, I want to know you. And if I can't know you, I would rather not live. Then he hears you. He who does not believe will be condemned. There's a sobering truth why it's so. It's not the church games that we play. The people that are hurting, people that are lost, that are bound by Satan. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. It's heavenly. They will take up serpents. It doesn't mean playing with snakes. Like we read in Scripture very clearly, when Paul was bit, he was not playing with the snake, showing off. Look, I'm a Christian. Wasn't that? It means someone poisoned your drink. Someone put you in a freezer and you're there. It doesn't mean you're going to put yourself in a freezer and lock yourself there and hallelujah. If you get put in there in the course of line of work, you're going to say, Lord, whether we live or die, we're yours. We praise you. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, set down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Will you stand to your feet?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.